Welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider.
Yay!
Episode numero dos. We made it. We've succeeded. We actually have viewers now. There's like 12 of you instead of 10.
It's a step up.
And today we're going to be talking about Kamen Rider Drive, episode number 19. Liam, what happened in that episode? How about a little bit of a recap?
Today we had the thrilling conclusion to the Judge arc, where we find out that Tachibana wasn't actually the Roid Mute. He was working with the Roid Mute and letting the Roid Mute copy him so that he could draw out the real Judge from, like, what, 5 years ago was the original case? I don't know.
Yeah, 5 years ago, because it strangely coincided with the same episode of Kamen Rider Double that had the same plot line.
Really?
It wasn't perfectly lined up, but it's like 5 years ago was Double.
Yeah.
So, it was just, maybe it was a funny little nod, who knows.
These Henshin shows are just full of details.
Just things that you'll miss if you don't look at it with a keen, sharp, children's Japanese show eye. What did you think of the episode?
I loved it, actually. I like that they do actual cop stuff in this episode. Like, the show has been full of detective things from the start, and, you know, sometimes sparse and sometimes thick, but today was all about policeman stuff, and they search scenes forever. Oh, fuck you.
That's our third host, by the way. Dog.
But today was all about police stuff, and they search crime scenes for evidence, and they catch actual criminals with tactics and stuff, and it's not all about the Roid Mute. And speaking of the Roid Mute, I also really like how the Roid Mute plots are getting more and more complex, and the Roid Mutes themselves are getting more complex, and their motivations and their relationship with their hosts. I think the show is really getting better. This is one of my favorite two-parters so far.
I gotta agree. It's really nice to see a little bit of, like, character development on all sides. It was, like, everybody got a little bit of a chance to shine in this episode, it seemed. What I really love about the newer episodes is that we're getting plots that seem like they wouldn't be super out of place in an actual detective television series that doesn't involve children's toys.
You're not wrong, yeah. One thing I think could have been better is the chief comes back, and like you predicted, his extended leave in Hawaii or wherever was not plot-related. I guess he was just doing shows or something, and he couldn't make it back. And there was the scene, this bugged me, there was the scene where they're all, like, figuring out how to catch the real judge, and they're, like, on the cusp of it, and Gen and Q and all them are in the office, and everyone's contributing their own little thing, and then it goes to the chief, and I was like, oh, what's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? And he's like, I found my passport!
he contributed. He's the one who said the completely unrelated bullshit that gave Tamari the ability to get into Top Gear. Somebody has to do it.
Of course. Of course.
I also want to point out,
but I don't know,
that I was completely and totally right last episode about who the judge was, so you can all suck it.
I was waiting for you to gloat about that. It doesn't undo that comment about Foundation X, though.
No. I sure ate ass on that one.
Jeff is going to flip-flop between being very right and very wrong every podcast. I hope you look forward to it.
Look forward to me being very, very wrong far more often. Speaking of, real quick, you can send us emails telling me that I'm a jackass. It's riderclubradio@gmail.com.
No caps, no spaces, no numbers. Just Rider
send
Club
it on
Radio.
In. Also, we have a Twitter. It's Rider Club Radio.
No caps, no spaces, no numbers.
I probably should have waited until the end of the episode, but fuck it. There you go.
Plug it before they leave.
Exactly. Before we get into really talking about the episode and people will just stop listening forever.
Speaking of the episode, what is your opinion, Jeff?
My opinion is that I already gave my opinion and I really loved that episode.
That's good. I thought you would have more to say, but okay.
I do have more to say, as a matter of fact.
Well, say it, you shit.
I do have a hard time with Drive because of the shift cars being treated like characters, and they do the little honky noises at each other when they talk.
When Drive first started airing, and I found out that the shift cars were sentient, I was like, if they talk, I'm out. I'm out. I was like, I could see it in my head, the scene where Tomari was like, I can't find motivation, and then, like, fucking Max Flair would go up next to him, like, it's okay, Tomari, you've just gotta start your engine. That's when I would have dropped the show. Right on the spot, but thank fucking God they didn't do that. That was a smart move. It is still kinda weird that they're sentient at all, but they don't talk. I think that's the clincher for me.
We just keep having these, like, really emotional bonding scenes where there's, like, a toy car in someone's hand wiggling, and we're, like, supposed to be like, this is beautiful, this beautiful friendship between a man and a tiny piece of plastic with wheels.
Gen learns how to be a real policeman this episode from a little toy car that doesn't talk. And remember the arc with Dream Vegas and Dimension Cab? There's that famous little shot with Dream Vegas in the rain, like you can hear the piano in the distance almost. It's just, I don't know.
It's hard to deal with sometimes, but Drive's really getting better. And when Drive started, we were both sort of on the fence about whether we were going to like it or not. But I'm really starting to get into it.
It's hit its stride. It's started its engine, as it were.
Oh,
you can kick
God.
Me off now.
Ugh. Anyway, this episode also set up, well, it didn't set it up, but it cemented the rivalry between Mach and Machine Chaser.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Machine Chaser and Mach are more rivals than Drive and Machine Chaser are anymore.
I think they've been going that way for a while with Mach's little, like, oh, Roid Mutes can't be good guys ever, and obviously they're building up to Machine Chaser being an actual rider, because I read the toy scans, so...
You just spoil yourself, just that, so everyone knows.
That was an
Liam
accident.
Liam already knew the storyline of this episode, because he got spoiled on it. He spoils himself.
It wasn't my fault, it's Bandai and Toei's fault for telling us everything a month in advance of when it actually happens. Because you gotta get hyped up for Type Formula so that you buy the Type Formula shift car, I guess.
Yeah, raise your hands, viewers, if you already know what Type Formula looks like. Put your hands down, I can't fucking see them. But I know it's all of you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Is that all we have to say about this week's Drive?
I think so. It was just the end of a two-parter, it clinched it really nicely. We got to see some true justice.
Real police stuff.
The Roy Mude was talking about his version of justice. We got to see true justice.
I love the scene where they find the button, and it's 5 years later, and it's still got two fingerprints on it, even though it's been at the bottom of a lake for 5 years.
Oh, apparently that's... I saw something in the Kamen Rider General about how that button was in another Kamen Rider show.
No way.
Yeah, I wish I remembered what it was. I probably shouldn't have brought it up if I didn't remember who. Oh.
Now it's just going to be hanging in the air for a week.
Write in and tell us about what it is.
Please.
We won't be able to tell anybody about it for a week, but you can tell us.
You'll get all the credit.
Well, since we talked a good deal about Drive, let's shift our focus away. Let's shift car our focus away.
Before we get to the secondary topic, there's a couple things I wanted to address.
Okay.
Last week, on Thursday, February 19th, was Hiroshi Fujioka's birthday!
Woo!
Ew. If I had poppers here, they'd be popping off right now.
That's a popper.
If
you don't know who that is, why in the hell are you listening to this podcast? It's the
Hiroshi actor... Hiroshi Fujioka, a.k.a. Rider 1.
Hongo Takeshi. The man who started it all. The man who was in 13 whole episodes before he broke his leg and decided he was not coming back for a long time. The myth, the legend.
The guy who had a real career after the show ended.
That's true. The only writer that had a real career after the show ended. Write in and tell me about all the others. You fucking idiots. What about Kuga's actor? What about him?
What about him?
Anyway, so happy birthday, Hiroshi. I know you listen to this.
Yeah, I know you speak perfect English and you listen to our podcast, so thank you.
We appreciate your patronage.
Also, I'm going to talk about myself for a while.
I'm going to leave.
No! Last week, the day after Hiroshi Fujioka's birthday, I woke up with a crippling head cold on Friday and decided it was time to watch Shin Kamen Rider, finally. Because
that's what you do. You wake up and you feel awful and you go, I'm going to feel more awful.
It's a movie that everybody shits on from every angle. It's a joke in the Rider community constantly, and I'd never seen it. I always laugh whenever Shin shows up in a crossover in the background, standing around, staring off into space. And I figured I wanted to see his movie finally. And have you seen it, Jeff?
I have not seen Shin Kamen Rider, so I am one of those people that's talking out of their ass about it.
Well, if you say Shin is shit, I wouldn't contest you on it, even though you haven't seen it. Maybe it's because my expectations were, rock bottom, beneath the crust of the earth, but I did enjoy it a little bit on some level. And not, in an ironic way, either. It was, but that was, the end of the movie. Because it's got this huge problem where, for the first half of the movie, Shin, he passes out and he sees through the eyes of a monster that kills people in the city, and he thinks he's that monster. But you, the audience, are not only told, but explicitly shown that it's not him. There's a scene where he's passed out, and the monster is in the room with him while he's passed out murdering people. And yet the movie still hinges on Shin thinking he's a killer for 40 minutes, and he runs around trying to solve this mystery that we already know the answer to for 40 minutes, and he doesn't transform for fucking 40 minutes. And it's...
That is getting into Kamen Rider The Next territory right there.
Is The Next very slow like that?
The Next has a plot line that is The Ring. It is The Ring.
What, a ghost girl comes out of a TV?
Yeah, well, it's not a TV, because that would be too copyright infringing. It's a song. A pop idol is, I don't want to give away, who's going to watch The Next?
I'm not going to fucking watch The Next. You told me it was bad.
Why would you listen to me? I'm wrong about everything.
That's true. There probably isn't even a movie called The Next. You're probably just making shit up.
Exactly, Foundation X. No, The Next is about a girl named Chiharu, and Chiharu is horribly scarred and turned into a monster that has weird psychic abilities, and if you listen to her song, Platinum Smile, you die in some horrible way. She shows up. She's not just, a girl with stringy, wet, black hair over her face. Mm. She is a girl with stringy, wet, black hair over her face and also bandages.
That sounds exactly like the plot of V3. It sounds like an extremely faithful adaptation. I don't see what your issue is with it. That could fit perfectly into an episode of any show or writer series.
I really wouldn't blame somebody if they watched The Next and was like, V3 was in that?
What, does he get 5 minutes of screen time? Or
he has, in suit, probably a total of 7 minutes.
Well, shit.
In the entire movie, in suit. If you cut that movie up into, parts about the Monster Girl song, parts about the characters, and parts where shit actually happens, that's, 70-20-10 right there.
It's a lot like Shin, then, because it's the same way, as in, there's no transforming. It's about, an evil corporation referred to only as the Organization. And they turn Shin into a monster. I think the most radical departure from the original Kamen Rider formula I've ever seen. Not in its plot, because it is about an evil organization turning a guy into a monster, but it feels like a shitty 80s American movie that was 10 years behind its time.
The Guyver.
Yeah, you brought this up when we were talking about it earlier. It feels like Guyver. I can't even fucking place it. It's just so weird. And there's a lot of, it's violent too. Holy shit, yeah. Is it violent. I'd say it's worth watching for the violence alone. People People say Amazon is violent, but Amazon doesn't have nothing on Shin. Holy hell. A guy rips his own face off in Shin. People get their throats slit. People get shot. People get stabbed.
What a, like, glowing review of this. Watch this movie because it's super violent.
Just for the spectacle, watch Shin. There's a bit where someone, I won't give it away, but, like, somebody gets shot and Shin gets pissed and he transforms. And the guy is just a guy with a gun. He's not a monster or anything. And despite this, instead of, like, giving him a speech about justice and arresting him or something, Shin transforms and fucking rips him apart. He, like, picks him up and cuts his throat and stabs him in the stomach and just destroys him. And it's just a dude. Like,
I would like some viewer to point out a part in any Kamen Rider series where a rider transforms and gives someone a speech about justice, then arrests them.
Look, you know,
I would like someone to look through the backlog of all Kamen Rider series and find that scene for me.
You know what I mean, though? When they transform, they don't beat up people. In fact, they don't fight, like, Kamen Riders don't fight people almost ever unless they're brainwashed and they're just trying to, like, push them off. Shin just brutalizes this guy. It's awesome. And he rips off there's like a cyborg guy, and he fucking rips off the cyborg's head, and the spine is still on, and then the head blows up. Watch Shin.
You sound like a 12-year-old. Like, oh, shit explodes, and there's blood.
The last 30 minutes of Shin is a roller coaster ride. Everything up to then will make you want to fall asleep. That's my review. Watch Shin.
That's, like, the first, then. Like, the first is super... I like the first. I'm gonna add this addendum before... this before-dom.
Here we are talking about Rider movies again. But yeah, go on.
Forever. That's every second section. Yeah. Anyway, the first is that way. And, like, during the last half hour of the movie, the people who were making it was like, holy shit, this is a Kamen Rider movie. Let's just have a huge fight scene for the last 30 minutes. Anyway, watch that part of the first.
Yeah, I will check out the first whenever I decide to, which, I don't know, sometime within the next 10 years.
Also, to the people in the Kamen Rider General who were mad that we haven't seen Forze, I'm starting to watch Forze now.
Oh, you picked it up.
Yeah, I felt guilt deep within the subcockles of my heart. Because so I'm trying to watch it, but I'm also trying to rewatch Kuga. So we'll see who wins out in the end.
Because we named the podcast after a thing from a show that neither of us have seen.
Oh no! Fuck everyone who thinks that. Because this podcast is named after the Rider Club from Super One, which I've seen.
Oh, see, I was misinformed about that shit.
And you're on the podcast, I'm on the podcast. So I guess. I can let everyone off the hook.
It's my turn to be wrong.
It's actually not. It's not named after the one in Forze either. It's just, like, it was going to be the Kamen Rider Club, like a club membership card and stuff, but I decided that was a little bit too geeky even for me.
Wasn't there a Kamen Rider Club in, I believe, was it Movie Wars Ultimatum or the Oz and Denno movie or something?
I don't know.
The one with the post-apocalypse?
Those movies blend together for me, man. You're gonna have to be super specific.
Movie Wars is just like a big pile of what the fuck, I don't know.
Moving on to our actual second topic, we are both big video game fans.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure you could tell from listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're very interested in Kamen Rider video games, believe it or not.
I'm a little salty about the fact that in the series is, what, like, 44-year history now? There have been, like, 5 good games in total?
Well, how much does it cost to make, like, a shitty plastic toy of some, like, a driver or a doodad that you shove in the driver? Like, 10 cents? How much does it cost to make a good game?
Oh, millions, hundreds of thousands at least, depending on how much time and money and man hours you pour into it.
Yeah, that's not Toei's bill. That's not what they do.
Despite Toei's best efforts, there have been good games, though.
Yeah, Liam, why don't you tell us about what good game is on your mind from the Kamen Rider series?
I think my favorite Kamen Rider game is probably all Kamen Rider Rider Generation 2 for the PSP. I have not played that. Oh, it's very good. It's a very simple, like, side-scrolling beat-em-up, like, Streets of Rage sort of thing. except you play as common riders, and you have every main rider from 1 to Wizard. Wizard is like a secret bonus unlockable, because he wasn't even airing when the game was made. And a bunch of secondary riders, you got like Meteor, Knight, Zolda, both Berths, just a shitload of characters, and they all have their own unique moves and unique specials, and they have big finishing moves, and
Hold the phone. Hmm? Is this that game where they have, like, little paper doll cutout
designs? Yeah, that game that you hated the graphics.
I am not a graphics whore. I don't care about graphics, but these are, like, little paper dolls.
Well, there's 50 playable characters, and the game was on the DS, so you can't expect...
It's on the PSP, you just said.
It's on the PSP and the DS, but the PSP version is the better one.
Yeah. It actually looks super fun. So I haven't played it. I would recommend it because fuck, you know, review sites do that. Why can't I?
Yeah. Play Rider Generation 2 if you're thinking about it. Yeah.
If you want to play a beat 'em up that looks amazing, plays amazing, and is available to you right now, regardless of what systems you own, go play Kamen Rider for the Super Nintendo. You can get an emulator for it. Don't tell them I said that. Don't tell Nintendo about it. Don't tell Toei.
Bandai's going to be on you.
Oh, you bet. they listen to this podcast, absolutely. Yeah. But it came out in 94, I believe. I could be completely wrong about that. I'm not looking at the Wikipedia article.
Yeah, it wouldn't be new if you were wrong about it.
I'm going to smack the taste out of you.
Every week.
It's based on the original Kamen Rider series, even though it came out in 1994. I would love to know how that happened.
I guess they just wanted to do a double Rider thing.
Yeah, player one is Rider one, Hongo Takeshi. Player two, Rider two, Ichimonji Hayato. Amazing. It's like if you ever played the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers game that was on Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. Do you remember the side-scrolling beat-em-up fun? It's better. Do you remember how you could fight as a normal twerpy-ass teen in overalls? You can fight as Hongo Takeshi, the most badass man who ever lived. You can fight as
him. And I should hire you.
Yeah, I should be writing all the advertisements for this game that came out decades ago.
Get a revival going.
Yeah, you play as Hongo and Ichimonji, and you get a life bar for when you're not transformed, and then you can Henshin, and you get all your life back, and it is one of the hardest games I've ever played in my life.
I played it briefly on your recommendation, and I couldn't get past level 1. I couldn't beat the first boss. All I can say about it is that it's fucking beautiful, like you say, especially for its time. The sprites are really good, and holy hell is it hard. It's a good stiff challenge.
It is ridiculously difficult. It is made... It's one of those beat-em-up games that's made so you play it with two players. It's meant to be played with two people. And there's no difference in the difficulty level between playing as one person and playing as two people.
I think that's probably why they did it with Rider 1 and Rider 2, because it's meant to be a duo game, and, you know, what better a Rider duo than 1 and 2?
And there hadn't been a Kamen Rider series in, like... I don't know, like 8 years at that point, really.
Yeah,
so it's not like they could have chosen the newest rider for it.
They weren't going to do fucking Zeto and J, that's for damn sure.
They gave up the ghost on that one really quickly.
Kamen Rider World Forever.
Yeah, Kamen Rider World, for those who don't know, was a special that came out after Kamen Rider Zeto came out. And it starred J and Zeto as the new double riders. They teamed up together.
It was 10 minutes long, yeah.
It's 10 minutes long. I don't know how it was shown. Maybe it was like a little...
I heard it was a theme park thingy.
Really?
I heard they showed it at a theme park.
So it was like Michael Jackson's Captain EO with fucking Kamen Riders.
I don't know. I would love to go to a Kamen Rider, like, roller coaster or something and watch Kamen Rider World while I fly around there.
That would be awesome.
Disney, get on that.
Disney listens to the podcast now, do they?
Let's just bark orders at everybody.
Absolutely. Jay and Zeto are fighting all your favorite Kaijin from every show that came out since Zetcross, because they're not going to make new monsters for this shit.
Yeah, fuck that.
And the final boss is Shadow Moon, even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Giant Shadow Moon, mind you. He's like 50 feet tall.
Yeah, he grows giant, even though he never had that ability before, to my knowledge. Probably wrong about that, too. Write in and tell us. But watch it. Watch World. Watch Zeto. Watch Jay. Watch Shin. Watch World.
Totally. I won't say it's not a waste of your time, but you'll have a rollicking good time, I'm sure.
World is 10 minutes. If you're not going to watch anything else, watch 10 minutes of no storyline and fight scenes.
Maybe World will be your gateway drug into Jay and Zeto. Not Shin, though.
No, Shin isn't in it. He would not have fit in that movie. I think it came out before Shin happened.
No, Shin was first. I think Shin was 91. That was the 20th century celebration, it says in the movie. So that's even more of a kick in the balls that Shin is that this is the 20th century legacy of Kamen Rider, is this fucking...
Shin is very similar to Amazon, though. You mentioned that earlier. Like, he's like Amazon turned to 11, it seems like.
It's similar in that he's like a monster mash, and he's super violent, yeah.
I'll have to watch Shin. I have so much to watch now. If you're going to write in to yell at us to watch something, don't do that.
Do it anyways.
Yeah, do it anyway, fuck it. But... there's already so much to watch, you know, and we're trying to keep up with Drive as it comes out. Ninja started today.
Oh, I haven't seen Ninja yet.
I haven't started either. I didn't want to watch it because I would start to mix up my Japanese superhero shows.
I've got a backlog of Kamen Rider as long as the day.
Man, the rest of my life could go by with me trying to catch up with every Kamen Rider series, and I don't think I would be able to.
Yeah, same here.
I believe we have touched on all of our topics.
Well, hang on. There was one more thing you wanted to talk about. What would you want to see in the ideal, perfect Kamen Rider game? What would be the elements that you'd want to see?
See, I don't know, because I haven't played any of them, but there are Kamen Rider Musou games, and that seems like the marriage made in heaven to me.
The Betrayed War, they're called. Yeah. And they look awesome, but I've never imported them. Now, you need to get a PS3. And import the games from Japan if you want to play them. But no, I've never done that. And they look... because I love Dynasty Warriors, and... I gotta get my hands on those games.
Yeah, that seems like it would be the perfect marriage, but... have you ever played Double Dragon Neon?
I know of Double Dragon Neon. I have not played it.
Double Dragon Neon is very much... like, in the style of NES, Super NES beat-em-ups. Of course, I wouldn't want any of the, like, hyper 90s stuff. That's not what's really important about it. But if it was a faster-paced version of Double Dragon Neon with all the Kamen Riders, you could pick any of them, and they all have all their special moves. I would love it.
You know what I would like out of a Kamen Rider game? I think instead of a Dynasty Warriors clone, I think they should make a Devil May Cry clone.
Ugh.
Wouldn't that be great? Like,
that would be amazing.
Huge move list. Even if it was just like Rider 1 and 2 and V3 or something, and they had like huge move lists and combos and stuff. A good stiff challenge, lots of like mooks to fight. That would be awesome. And like have some vehicle segments, obviously, get them on the motorcycles. I think that would be my...
I would really love to see that as like Kuga and Agito, if we're going to go with Heisei Riders.
Why is that?
Because I always thought that was such a missed opportunity to team them up.
Because
they take place somewhat in the same continuity. That was an idea that was super tight in the beginning. Like, G3 is even based on the way Kuga looks in-universe.
A lot of people in Toei deny that they take place in the same universe. I think the writer... I don't know if it was Inoue or if it was another writer who denied that they take place in the same universe, but, I mean, it's kind of obvious.
They mention the monsters from Kuga in the first few episodes of Agito.
They mention the Grongi?
Yeah, they don't call them that, of course. They call them, like, the unidentified numbers.
Yeah.
But it was actually the writer's choice for it not to be connected, because it was sort of an editorial mandate for it to be connected to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But the writers really didn't want... and not the writers of Agito, the writers of Kuga.
Oh.
They didn't want it to be connected because it made Godai seem like he fucked off and left Japan under attack by a bunch of monsters.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
And I totally see that.
That's sort of the thing with all the Showa writers having a shared universe, is it's like they're just, they're not there because they're constantly fighting every day of their lives and they can't spare a single week to go and help the new guy.
Yep.
Except at the very end, obviously.
There was actually a video game starring Agito and Kuga.
Was that the PS2 one?
No, the PS2 one was Kuga.
Okay.
I think, I don't remember what system it was on, but it was a card game.
Oh, well, fuck that then. That's another thing. Wasted potential in Kamen Rider video games. What the fuck? Like, every time there's a good franchise that needs a good game, you always get pachinko machines, card games, Skylanders games, like...
There's so many pachinko Kamen Rider games. I guess... There's so many.
Like, they sell. Pachinko machines make tons of money. I won't fault them for making pachinko machines, but fuck! Do something with it!
Pachinko machines also cost no money to make.
Yeah.
So...
I'm not saying they should stop, because that would be crazy, but... just wasted potential is what it is.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to touch on in this episode before we say goodbye?
No.
Well, remember, everybody, there's our Gmail that you can reach us at, riderclubradio@gmail.com. There's the Twitter you can reach us at.
At riderclubradio.
We are now posting, is it Mega Upload links?
MediaFire.
They're MediaFire links. So you can download and listen to the podcast, because that was something that everyone was asking for.
If you don't want to bother with YouTube, or if you just want to download and listen to it while you play a game or whatever, yeah, it's just down there in the description.
There's a listen option down there as well, in case you don't really want to download it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working on an RSS feed, but if you want to know when we're updating, follow the Twitter.
Do it.
Or subscribe to the YouTube.
Do that too. Do it both.
Do everything that we tell you to do.
Obey.
Do the hokey pokey.
Please.
Please.
Is that
Please
everything?
Please and arigato. Yeah, that's everything. Thank you for listening to Rider Club Radio, and we will be back next week.
See ya.
はじめに光あり、爆発がある。細胞の爪に稲妻が走り、血の川が逆流する。肉の大地が震える。目は輝く。変わる生まれ変わる生まれ変わった俺は黒い騎士黒い騎士ライダーライダーライダーライダーライダーブラック星星が輝きうなる神経の森に鉄風が吹き遺伝子が熱を変える骨の声だに目が吹く腕は巨人のツール 燃えろ燃えろ飛んで行こう生まれ変わった